So this morning is April 14th of 2019. Title of our message is Palm Sunday. Took it from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. And Palm Sunday, the outline ended up, the Lord needs it, and the triumphal entry. So, the first day of Passover week. It's not often that the stars align and the Jewish and Gentile church events are on the same schedule. Literally, it's the moon aligning, but it's not very often that the Jewish holidays and the church holidays line up, but this year they do. So today would be the day that you would enter Jerusalem. If we were still doing that, this would be the day that you would do it. So, the event is welcoming a king. That's what the triumphal entry is all about. So what's your attitude about living under a king? Someone who has sovereign control over your very life and existence. You probably have seen in history where there were kings and they had the right and privilege to pretty much do whatever they wanted to with your life. Now, would you agree with me that the world we live in, the thought of a sovereign king ruling over us is not very popular? Would you say yes or no? And then maybe say, oh, remember 1776 when he kicked the king out of here? It's not really very popular in our culture to think about living under a sovereign king. Now, would you agree with me that the kingdom we live in, the thought of a sovereign king ruling over us is very popular? Yes? Having the King of all glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling in sovereign kingship over our lives is a very popular concept within the community of believers and in many parts of the church. Would you agree or no? I think that's taught rather widely in the church. Now, practically speaking, maybe not effectively ruling in our lives because of our rebellious natures, but it is a popular idea. So, let me start with some Passover patterns. When you're walking down the valley on the way to the east gate, the king's gate, one sings psalms. And each year, from the time King David moved the tabernacle to Jerusalem, that was the order of service for one's worship. And that began in 1010 B.C. 1,010 years before Christ was born, that was the pattern that was started. So, they're called the Psalms of Ascent, and there's a bunch of them. The Holy Spirit helped King David write them. Hosanna is one of them. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the King of Israel. That's one of my favorite out of Psalm 118, 25, and 26. But they have these psalms memorized, and they would sing them as they go. Jesus knew the words to those songs about him. His good friend and he, the Holy Spirit, had helped King David write those songs. He knew all the words. And this was 1,043 years later, the event we're looking at in history today. After they were written, they were sung each and every year, practicing for this very one day. All of those were dress rehearsals for the day Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had a great day that day, enjoying the exciting welcoming him as their king. And he's the original live-in-the-moment guy. He could live in the moment, thoroughly enjoying that, even though when he looked at the people in the crowd, he could see the ones who just a week later, on Friday of the week starting on today, would cry, crucify him, and scream for his murder. Yet in the midst of that, he could look at them in love and enjoy the moment that he was in. And I wish I could do more of that. Not be distracted by things that happened in the past or things I'm worried about in the future or the circumstances around me, but just right in the very instance of the moment, live in worship and praise and love and adoration for God without distraction. Jesus could do that. Now, God bless our King is one of the things I would like us to take away from here as a good idea for us to be thinking. God bless our King. And would you agree with me? It'd be really cool to be doing that when he returns, when he happens to come back in the clouds in the east and everyone knows that it's all over and the King of Kings has returned. It would be really cool in that moment to be living in your heart, God bless our King Jesus. Now, I use the NIV translation of Luke 19:28. Jesus went up to Jerusalem as he approached Bethany and Bethany at the hill of the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners asked him, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, put Jesus on it. They went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, a whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they said. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So just stop with me for a moment and let's just think about that statement Jesus made. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Jesus is saying that stones can talk. You get that? In the world we live in, that would be considered insane talk or maybe crazy talk, right? If you tell somebody, you stop by Willie's house and we're sitting on the front porch and you could hear the stones that are around my yard singing, they'd say, oh, crazy talk. What are those boys into? Stones can talk. Do you believe that all creation can communicate with God? They can. The dirt can cry out with the blood of Abel. The stones can cry out when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River. They each tribe took a stone and placed it as a memorial, and the way they looked at it, those stones would testify, would give witness throughout the generations. They literally believed that people who came in contact with that would understand what they meant. That's kind of, in our world, that's kind of crazy talk, isn't it? Do you believe that all creation cries out to God for his return and redemption? Scripture is very clear that all creation cries for Jesus to return and to remove the curse of sin and death from the land. Plants will no more die. Animals will no more die. People will no more die. They all know in their DNA that they're not designed to die. Neither are we. It's a curse of sin. So, Palm Sunday, point number one, the Lord needs it. Think about that. The Lord needs it. Do you believe that people need the Lord? How many of you would agree? People need the saving grace of the Lord, right? Can you agree with that? Do you believe that the Lord needs us? Now, that's a little bit more of a stretch to my theology, that a sovereign God needs people. But the scripture today outlines it such that that's the way it plays out. Now, here's a real stretch. Do people need us? You could probably agree that people need the Lord. No problem, right? And maybe see that the Lord uses us for his hands and feet. Jesus with skin on him. You and me. But do you honestly think that the people out there need us? Need what we have in this church? Now see, that last one is a new stretch for me. It's a new gig. Tuesday we had our first vision for the church meeting, and when I came away from it, I had this short phrase. People need the Lord, people need us. It's easy for me to say people need the Lord, but it's a challenge for me to say people need what we have here in this church. But the truth is, they do. It's just been my deception that I haven't seen it that way, but I'm beginning, as I seek the Holy Spirit, to see that that's something that I need to change in my thinking, and maybe you need to change in your thinking too, that there is something very valuable that we have in this church, and people need it. A on your outline, how did Jesus know the colt was there? Two blanks, Jesus and colt. How did Jesus know that that colt was there, tied up next to its mother? How did he know that? I think Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit was that well connected. See, the Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen. And Jesus was so well connected with the Holy Spirit that he also knew what was going to happen. He knew the colt was there because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, we can do this too. Actually, honestly, he said, we can do better than that. Greater things than that. Now, maybe people needing what we have in this church was a stretch, but that one ought to really stretch your imagination a little bit. That you could know right now where the cars will be on your way home that are going to cross the center line before you ever start the motor of your car. You could know it. Wouldn't that be an amazing life to experience? Jesus did it. He said we can do it. All that's lacking is our connectedness to the Holy Spirit. So, when I was a boy in Sunday school at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we used the old King James Bible. Doing my dad's funeral there a week ago brought up a bunch of old memories, and I was thinking about that this week. And in that Bible, they translate the word donkey as ass. He sent his disciples into town to get the ass. Now, can you imagine, picture in your mind, me wanting to read that passage in church? I don't know what it is about my personality that is so unusual that if I can do something to stir the pot, I do. I can't seem to not. So I would volunteer to read that and then punctuate with emphasis that one word. Embarrass the Sunday school teacher, make my friends giggle, and oftentimes I get clobbered for it later when my parents found out what I did. But still didn't stop me from doing it. Now then, Jesus knew the name of the donkey's owner. He not only knew where the donkey was, he knew the name of the guy who owned it. Do you know he knows your name? He knows your name? When he communicates with you, does he use your name? And when he uses Wilmer John, I know, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. Right? But he will contact you by your surname. Now, how would you respond if he asked to use your blank? In the world, they use that term all the time. Not to refer to a donkey, but to refer to you getting up and getting going. What if the Lord asked for your? What would you do? We don't have donkeys, so let's say it's your truck or your car. Lord says, I need your car. Would you just give it? No strings? Let me run and get the title. Sign it over quick. Here you go. The insurance is only good to the end of the month. Better put your own plates on it. Here you go. Would you? This guy did it with his male little colt and its mother. No guarantee that he was going to get it back. Just gave it. Would you? What if it was your very life? You put in your in the sling. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking. And when I come up with these crazy ideas, I know that it causes strange thinking in your head. But you don't fall asleep in that part of the sermon. Jesus longs for your thinking to be like the people on that day, that were praising him as their coming king. Their triumphant king. That's what he wants from us. That's what he longs for us on a daily basis. Now, be on your outline. Does it look like Jesus needs people to help him? Needs people help are your blanks. Does it read like he needs people to help him? Think it through. Jesus needs the disciples to go get it, right? And he needs the owners to say, yeah, sure. If the disciples wouldn't have went, we wouldn't have Palm Sunday. If the owners would have said, no one's ever rode on that colt. No, you can't have it. People, Jesus needs us. And there are people out there that need us as well. See on your outline, the two disciples obeyed. So write, disciples obeyed. That's what we need in our life, obedience. Lord says, go get it, you go. Lord says, I need it, you give it. Instant, unquestioned, without any logic or understanding, just stone cold obedience. Now, when you think about it, what Jesus is asking these two is really weird. I want you to go into down the hill into the city, and as soon as you get in there, there'll be a donkey and his colt, and untie him and bring him to him. That's just kind of weird. But they did it. Now, these disciples could be us here today. Would we obey if Jesus asked us to do something that's odd? As we look for a vision for our church, if he asked us to do something different than we've ever done before, something out of the ordinary, not normal in our 100+ years, 160-something years this building's been here and saints have been coming here to worship. What if he asks us to do something that's different than has ever happened in all those hundreds of years? Would we obey? Or will we say, whoa, wait a minute. Our church has never done that before. Our church doesn't do anything that weird. That's crazy talk. What if he does? I'm asking these questions because the odds are something's going to change. Something is going to change. And it would be really good if we would start now getting our head going, getting our heart going, to be obedient when the word comes. Now, point number two, the triumphal entry. For a very short time, on one day, Jesus was on top of the world. For a few hours that day, him living in the moment, he had an absolute ball and was on top of the world. Now, A, Jesus is the king of the world. Your blank is king, and make it capital king. He is the king. Now, he's letting a rebel rule this world temporarily. Temporarily, he's letting Satan and his dark demons rule the world. But have zero doubt in your mind, he's coming back. And when he comes back, he will defeat the rebel king. It's an amazing battle in the book of Revelations. He's coming back and he will defeat the king. But temporarily, the world we live in is ruled by a rebel prince. Now, B, Jesus is the king who is coming soon. Coming soon. So your three blanks are king, coming soon. The king is coming soon. He challenged his disciples at four different occasions, don't fall asleep. Six different parables about not falling asleep and not paying attention and him coming and you aren't ready. Live ready. Because no one knows the day and the hour. I have a theory, a hypothesis, that it'll happen in coordination with the Jewish events of Judgment Day. But that's just a good idea. No one really knows if I'm right. It could be, very well be today or the next few days. When he comes, you will want to be walking after this Holy Spirit. That's what you want to be doing when he comes back. Living filled with his Spirit, anointing of his Spirit, and walking after him, following him through your day. That's what you want to be doing when he shows up. If you're doing that when he shows up, it's all good. If you're not doing that and he catches you sleeping, it's very bad. So, start getting your mind in gear. Things may be changing around here. We'll see what God says, but start getting your head and your heart ready for that. And start living every day like he's going to show up. Because what we're doing as a church is we're challenging the Holy Spirit to show up and speak to us. And expecting that he's going to do that. So it'd be a really good idea if you started moving in that direction with us. C, Jesus longs to be your King and Lord. He longs for that. He aches for that. He is passionately longing to be your sovereign, loving, graceful, merciful, forgiving, patient, kind, generous, gentle King. He longs for that. Will you welcome him into your life with praise today? Well, Willie, I'm born again. I've got Jesus in my life. Cool. There's a freshness of taking a shower every morning, right? Maybe you're an evening shower guy. When I work outside, I'm an evening shower guy. Going to church, I'm a morning shower guy. But even though I really didn't need a shower because I wasn't dirty and I wasn't smelly, I took a shower. And it's the same way with this anointing of the Holy Spirit. You want to be fresh and washed regularly. Wash your hands, wash your feet, take a shower. Regularly be washing in this refreshing love of Jesus Christ. So the event is welcoming a king. What would your attitude be about living under a king? Someone who is your sovereign, in control of your very life and existence. What's your attitude about submitting to the king? Would you agree with me that in the kingdom we live in, the thought of the sovereign king ruling over us is a popular idea? Yes? Right? It is. That's what we should be doing. Now, after my time with Todd and Mike on the 22nd of last month, I came to this. Where do we as a church go from here? What do we do? Dan, Denise, Marty, and I are inviting you to go with us into an adventure with the Holy Spirit. Did you find that fallout in your bulletin that has this written on it? One of the four things you get is this thing. And I'm asking you to save this, to take this with you. And we're inviting you to go into an adventure. I don't know how many of you have ever had an adventure in the spiritual realm. Probably few. The spiritual realm is as real as the material world that we live in. It's as real as the pulpit. It's as real as the microphone. But the thing about the spiritual world is it's not physical. It's not material. It's spiritual. There are live beings that are all spirit. And they can relate with humans. And you can get into an adventure with them. Maybe as a negative illustration, you've seen some of the scary movies where demons influence people to do bad things, right? Or maybe go beyond that to where they become indwelled with an evil spirit and they do worse things. And maybe you've even seen or heard of people that come under demon possession, that a demon owns their very soul and body, and they do terrible things. That's real. That's real stuff. Now, there's bad spirits, and there's good spirits. And I'm warning you about the bad ones, and I'm encouraging you to seek the good ones. And you get into an adventure where you begin to be influenced by that spirit. And then it comes along and you have more involvement and eventually get to the point where the Holy Spirit has possession of your life. And you are a Holy Spirit possessed human. Jesus was one of these critters. It's an amazing adventure to enter into the spiritual realm. Now, 2 years ago in September of 2017, the bishop of our denomination was here and he challenged us at Adeline Camp to let the Spirit control our lives, our churches, our denomination. It was a message titled, Let the Wind Blow. That's the direction the leadership of our denomination is leading us to be more impacted by the Holy Spirit. Todd's testimony to us was, I was a United Brethren before I was conceived. Grew up living in the bishop's home. My dad was the bishop. And then when he wasn't, the next door neighbor and his kids that I run around with was the bishop of the denomination, while my dad was a teacher at Huntington University. All my life, I've been in the United Brethren Church. And I find myself in my mid-40s pastoring a growing church in Pennsylvania, and coming to the realization that in all of my 40 years of being in the United Brethren in Christ Church, I've never had a spiritual encounter with the Holy Spirit. born again, in the church, leading a church that's growing and thriving, and come to the realization that I'm in over my head because I don't know the Holy Spirit, begins crying out for that and has an amazing life-transforming change when the Holy Spirit showed up in his life. That's what he's asking of us as individuals, of the little church in Kalita, the little church on Kilburn Avenue in Rockford. That's what he's asking us to do. Now, we need a clear common purpose for our church. I said last week, and I told the folks in that small group, that I think basically the purpose is to keep the doors open and just not let it fall apart and close. That's kind of been the purpose. And for the first 4 years I was here, from 2004 to 2008, I really tried us to get together on a mission, vision, purpose, strategy statement that comprehensively communicates what we want to do as a church. I didn't really get any pushback. I just didn't get any buy-in. And so after 4 years, I just, okay. A couple times since then, I've handed that page to the people on the board, and I said, we really should do something with this. Oh, yeah, well, we should. When I was confessing that regret to the folks in our leadership group, one of the people said, Wilmer, we just weren't desperate enough yet. That's why we never did it. We weren't desperately in need like I sense we are now. And I thought about it. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a lot of times that the children of Israel got into a big mess, and then all of a sudden they'd remember, oh yeah, how long has it been since we cried out to the Lord to deliver us? Right? I think that's where we are. But we need to come to some clear common purpose and vision for our church. So, here's what I want you to do. On that page is this question. What is the Lord calling us to do with him? Next one. Where is the Holy Spirit taking us? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? And what does the Holy Spirit want to do with us? Those are the questions that I came away from the meeting. There's actually seven questions, but these four are the essentials. And when I communicated by email with Todd and Mike, I said, hey, this is what I came away from. Am I close? And both of them emailed me back and said, that's the heart that we had. You got exactly what we wanted you to get. Cool. Now I'm about the process of trying to obey what the boss asked me to do. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. There is no time when God is not talking. We need to trust and believe that's true. And trust he'll reveal his will for us, to us, the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. The thing is, we're just not tuned in. See, I told you I listened to that song, Reckless Love, and then I punched the button and shut the stereo off. I didn't listen to anything else. I just listened to that one song. And see, that's oftentimes what happens with us in the Holy Spirit. We hear one thing and then we punch the button and move on, rather than just let it continue. But tuning into the Holy Spirit is much like tuning into a radio station. You turn the dial until you find where the signal is strong. That's what we need to do with the Holy Spirit. So, how do I do this? Here's the how-tos. Take a period of time, get quiet, still. Try to eliminate all the distractions in your mind, and then honestly, openly ask the Holy Spirit to give you the answer to each one of those questions one by one. So take a period of time, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever it is, block a time out. Try to get rid of all of the distractions, read that question, sit there for a few minutes, And if you hear something, write it down. Then go on to the next one. If you don't hear anything, don't worry about it. Maybe the next time you sit down, you will. But you write down whatever comes. So I asked Mike on the phone the other day, well, what does that look like? Give me some illustrations. So when I'm trying to explain this to people, they've got something tangible in their head. There it is. He said, prepare for children. And then he was just quiet. Prepare for children. So when you read that question, you may get just a fragment like that. One or two or three words. Just write it down. Now, the backstory is there was a United Brethren Church out in Washington State. I guess West is that way. Out in Washington State. And there were eight families in this church. And the youngest of those married couples was 80 years old. There's eight couples. That's all that's left in this church. And they're all in their 80s. And they contacted Todd and Mike just much the same way Kevin and I did with Kilburn and Kalita, saying, hey, boss, we're kind of a mess here, and we need to do something, but we don't exactly know what to do. Kevin's got an idea what he wants to do, but it's not the idea that the boss has, and so I'm going to try to help him with that. But this is what the boss asked us to do, and I got it right, amazingly. And they got it right out in Washington. And as they got together in a small group and asked those questions, what they heard was, prepare for children. That was it. Nothing else. They contacted Mike and said, it really sounds kind of weird, Mike, but that's what we heard. Mike says, so what is your heart? Get it. What is your heart? The folks say, we want to obey. All of us, even though we're in our 80s, we want to obey what God is telling us to do. Mike says, then lace them up tight because something's going to happen. And within 10 days, one of those couples met a young couple that had several children, and they asked that couple if they would be welcome at the church. The guy said, oh, yeah, yeah. We actually have heard from the Lord to prepare for your children. Cool, that's what we want. Within a year, there was over 160 people there, and all of them were young families with children. But God didn't give them, okay, now what you need to do is paint the nursery one blue and one pink. Get border and put it on there. What you prepare is your heart. And your heart is to be obedient like the donkey's owner. Right? That when God says, hey, I need your blank, you say, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. Sure, take it. It's yours. That's probably what's going to happen. It's something little weird like that, and then we'll build from there. But I want you to be involved with the four of us as we lead you into this adventure. So take this, pray, and write down whatever he says. Okay? Jesus longs to sit on the throne of your life. When I became a believer, it was involved with the Campus Crusade for Christ ministry. And their literature has a throne in their tracts. And on that throne is you. Or on that throne is Jesus. Jesus wants to sit on the control center, the throne of your life, and be your sovereign king. He longs to do that. Now, he longs to be our sovereign king in this church. Will we let the Holy Spirit of God have sovereign control of your life? Will we let him have sovereign control of this church. Will we? Will we instantaneously, like the disciples and the owner of that donkey, obey? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your love for us. Sir, we are children that have not been obedient, seeking diligently the empowering and the anointing of this amazing friend Jesus told us would come. But we are now, much like your children in the Old Testament, we're in a place where we're crying out for your help and believing, just like they did, that you'll show up. Holy Spirit, sorry that we haven't tuned into your frequency and listened to the songs you're singing and the words you're saying all the time. Sorry. Thank you for your friend Jesus providing forgiveness for our whoops. We're turning towards you now. Forgive us, smile on us, we ask it in the name of the Holy One, Jesus Christ. Amen.